Welcome one and all to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this beautiful and blessed Sabbath day. And welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that will be listening to this recorded service afterwards. We're continuing to read in our book, Steps to Christ, and the actual link for those that would like to read along is lightministries.com/ID624.htm. And we're in chapter 8 that's entitled Growing Up into Christ. And we're all the way down to just past the beginning of page 69 to the paragraph that starts out, Many Have an Idea. So, chapter 8, Growing Up into Christ, down past page 69. And before we begin reading, I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel before our God. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for bringing us all back together again on this beautiful Sabbath. And we pray, Father, that you will be in our midst. We pray that our dear Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well to lead and guide us into all truth, to bless us from the throne of grace on high. And please, Father, pour your Spirit out upon us in rich abundance, that we might indeed comprehend the truth as it is in Jesus in such clarity that it will bring about conviction and conversion of our hearts, and that we might indeed come up ever more fully into the knowledge and the character of our Savior. Please shut Satan out and all of his evil angels and all of his darkness and errors and falsehoods. Remove these completely from us, from all of our hearts and minds, that there will be nothing to hinder us from comprehending the truth. Thank you so very much for being here, for hearing and answering this prayer. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So page 69, and the paragraph begins, Many have an idea. Many have an idea that they must do some part of the work in being saved and growing up into Christ alone. They have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sin, but now they seek by their own efforts to live aright. But every such effort must fail. Jesus says, Without me ye can do nothing. Our growth in grace, our joy, our usefulness, all depend upon our union with Christ. So just as the branch of grapes has to be connected with the vine in order for it to grow and produce fruit, so every step of the way in the process of conversion, every upward step in the pathway of sanctification, we have to remain connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ, or we're going to wither up and die, and we'll be lost. So, if we believe that after we've accepted Christ, that we can then begin keeping God's law by ourselves, we're going to fail. Because Christ has told us plainly, Without me ye can do nothing. Our growth in grace, our joy, our usefulness for God all depend upon our maintaining our union and connection with Christ. Continuing. It is by communion with Him, daily, hourly, by abiding in Him, that we are to grow in grace He is not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. It is Christ first and last and always. He is to be with us not only at the beginning and the end of our course, but at every step of the way. David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved, which is Psalm 16, verse 8. So if we're directly connected with Christ every step of the way, then we will not be moved off of this straight and narrow path, but we will continue to grow and advance in knowledge, in spiritual life, and in grace. Continuing, do you ask, how am I to abide in Christ? In the same way as you received him at first. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The just shall live by faith, which is Colossians 2:6 and Hebrews 10:38. You gave yourself to God to be wholly his, or his holy, to serve and obey him, and you took Christ as your Savior. You could not yourself atone for your sins or change your heart, but have given yourself to God. You believe that he, for Christ's sake, did all this for you. By faith you became Christ's. And by faith you are to grow up in him, by giving and taking. You are to give all, your heart, your will, your service. Give yourself to him to obey all his requirements. And you must take all. Christ, the fullness of all blessing, to abide in your heart, to be your strength, your righteousness, your everlasting helper, to give you power to obey. So what is the process of salvation entailing, dear ones? We must live by faith. In the beginning, we became Christ's. By faith, we're to grow up into Christ, into a mature man and woman spiritually, by faith. And this faith includes giving and taking. And taking here is not in a selfish context. We're to give and take. So we're to give everything that we are. Our heart, our will, our service, our total selves to Christ in order to obey his requirements. And then we must take all. We must take Christ, the fullness of his blessings, to abide in our heart and be our strength and righteousness and helper, so that we will have the power to obey. So in other words, as we empty ourselves in shining and giving the light to others, then we in turn are filled more so that we could then give more in return. So it's the process of giving and taking. As we take in more of Christ, we're able to share him more with others, which then increases our ability to take in more of him, to then give more of him to others. This is the process of growth. This is the pathway that leads to salvation. Continuing, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. So when we wake up in the morning, what is the very first thing that we're to do? Consecrate ourselves to God. continuing, let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me, and let all my work be wrought in thee. So what is the very first thing that we're to do? We're to consecrate ourselves and allow our prayers to go up to God that include the fact that we want Him to come to us and make us wholly His children for that day. That all of our plans are being laid at His feet to agree with or to alter. That we want Him to use us in His service for that entire day. And that we want Him to abide with us so that everything that we do can be wrought in God. That is truly consecration, devotion to God, and that's at the very beginning of each day. Continuing, this is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be given your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. So this is exactly what Christ did each morning when He woke up. He consecrated Himself to His Father for that entire day, and He allowed God to direct His steps. Whatever plans He had, He allowed His Father to agree with and allow to occur, or to disagree with and change. We should do the same thing. We're to have plans. We're to figure out what we're going to be doing for that particular day, especially in regards to working for God. But as we've given our hearts into God's keeping, and we're allowing Him to direct us, then whatever the all-wise God sees is best, then that's what we want to do. So if we have a plan to do something at 10 in the morning, but God sees that it's not best we do it at 10, then God will change the circumstances and we will not be able to do it. We will allow God to direct our steps, approve our plans, and change our plans whenever and wherever He sees is best to do so. That is truly giving your life into God's hands. It is truly being consecrated to Him and allowing Him to control you. It is the pathway of growing more and more into the likeness and character of Christ. And if faithful to the end, obtaining salvation. Are there any thoughts or comments before we go on, dear ones?
Yes, dear brother. In reflecting on what you have just said, even, I know I fail in that, and I pray that the Lord will forgive me on those parts and help me to truly listen and be really willing to walk every step as He says to walk it and yield. I actually, as I was thinking on it, and as the Lord was bringing it to my attention, that I don't do that, he was sharing with me also that it could be very exciting if you let me do that. So, and I really rejoiced in my heart when thinking on that, because our day, if we allow the Lord to plan it, will be an exceedingly more perfect day according to His will, and it may be a much more spiritually exciting day. I don't mean fleshly exciting, but spiritually growing and exciting day, a much more adventurous day, if we allow the Lord to truly guide, you know, every decision in our day. And I, you know, and as he was like really allowing that all to sink in, dear brother, as I'm sitting here and I'm like willing to like listen to all these things, he really was showing me very, very much so. You know, if you really let me steer the whole ship instead of you trying to always pull the mast this way and I want it to go that way and you want to turn the oar this way and I'm telling you to turn, if you really let me take you through these different ways of your life, you're going to find it to be really, really adventurous and exciting. And you may not like every wave that comes across your bow, but I'm going to bring you through it. You're going to be like, wee, in the end, okay? So just let me take care of this, and you're going to find it to be a rejoicing. And that's why I was just sitting here saying, wow, Lord, I don't know why it's taken me so long to let this really sink in, but I guess it's because I've been so used to, and it's really bad, really, I have to, you know, share that. So used to trying to make sure I know which way a certain thing is going. I've quite much been that way for an exceedingly large portion of my life. And it's not an easy habit. I have to say it's habit for me, but I know that by God's grace, that's a habit that I truly desire to be broken. I don't always have to see every single area and every corner. I just have to know that my Lord and my God, He can see every area and He knows what's around every corner, and I need to let Him just really steer me. And even as you're saying, dear brother, every morning stop trying to think I can make my own plans to the best of my ability, because my ability is so far off from what the Lord is. So I need to truly just really, wow, and it's really, it's going to be a big step. Because I really like to at least have a fairly good idea of which way I'm heading, you know. So please keep me in prayer about this, because I really desire the adventure, but I surely know I have to let go of all these things.
Understand, dear brother, and will indeed keep you in prayer. And please keep me and the rest of us in prayer as well, because we're going through the same struggles. You know, we want to have everything planned out to where we see what the end result is and the steps in between, so that we're not caught off guard, if you will. But as you mentioned, Our vision, our insight is imperfect. God's eyesight, His wisdom, His discernment, His ability to see the future is perfect. And since Christ is the captain of our salvation, and thus is the captain of our little human ship, then we're to allow Him to steer us in whatever direction is for our best. We're to allow God to alter our plans. And this takes faith that God knows what He's doing, which means we have to give up our own desires, relinquish our own hold on our lives, recognizing that our God is all wise. And since He loves us, He's not going to lead us astray. And so what He allows to occur in our life, or the changes to our plans that He does, It's for our best interests with the goal of salvation and eternal life in mind. So if we recognize that and we have faith in God, then we can trust Him 100%. If you trust someone 100%, then you can rest content because you know that you're safe. So then if we have faith in God and we trust Him because He's all-wise and He loves us, then we can rest in His love. And we don't have to worry about the future. And we don't have to fret and complain that our best laid plans according to our fallible human understanding have been changed or altered. Because our all-wise God is in control. And as the captain steers the ship away from all of the unseen reefs and problems of the ocean currents and etc. that can't be seen and is unknown by the ship hands, and they must trust in the captain's decision and the steering of the ship so that it can reach the harbor in safety. So we must trust our Savior to do the same with our lives, knowing that He's never lost a battle. He's never steered a ship to destruction. They always safely reach the harbor. So then what do we have to worry about if we've given our lives into the hands of God? What do we have to complain about if our plans are changed and we're not able to do what we wanted to do at that particular time of the day or month or year? Instead of complaining, we have everything to praise God for. We have everything to be joyful in our God, because He's taken control of our lives and we're being led safely into heaven. So let us not commit mutiny and take over the governing of our own ship, but let us leave it in the safe hands of our God. And everything will work out for the best. So each morning we're to consecrate ourselves to God. We're to be wholly His, allowing Him to alter, change, or approve of all of our plans for that day, because we want to be used by Him in His service. We want Him to abide with us so that we could be growing in grace and becoming more and more mature after the image of our Savior, and thus bring precious souls the truth and the right example to follow in order for them to have eternal life. Continuing, a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. There may be no ecstasy of feeling, but there should be an abiding, peaceful trust. So a life that's in Christ is not one of fretfulness. It's not one of worry. It's not one of anxiety or impatience. It's a life of restfulness. Because There is an abiding, peaceful trust in God leading and controlling your life. Continuing. Your hope is not in yourself. It is in Christ. Your weakness is united to His strength. Your ignorance to His wisdom. Your frailty to His enduring might. So you are not to look to yourself, not to let the mind dwell upon self, but look to Christ. Let the mind dwell upon His love, upon the beauty, the perfection of His character. Christ in His self-denial, Christ in His humiliation, Christ in His purity and holiness, Christ in His matchless love. This is the subject for the soul's contemplation. So then, if we allow ourselves to be anxious or worrying or fretful or impatient, who are we really trusting in? It's not in God. So when we find ourselves disheartened, or when we find ourselves becoming impatient over things not going the way that we think they should, or if we find ourselves worrying about what's going to happen, we need to turn our attention away from ourselves, because our hope is not founded in us, it's in Christ. So then let us turn our attention from self and focus it onto our Savior. And let our mind dwell upon His love for us, the beauty and perfection of His character. Let us see Christ in His self-denial and in His humiliation, recognizing that He went through so much more than we could ever go through. So we really have nothing to complain. Let us see Christ in His purity and holiness, so that we won't trust in what we can do, but we will instead trust in what God can do through us. And let us dwell upon Christ's matchless love for us, so that we might fall more and more in love with Him and not with self. So when you find yourselves desponding or discouraged or anxious or worrying or fretful or impatient, look up and dwell upon Christ and rest in His love, knowing that everything is going to be okay as long as you're in Christ. Connected to the vine, everything is going to be okay. There's nothing to worry about. No reason to be impatient. Dwell upon Christ. He is the subject for your soul's contemplation. Continuing. It is by loving Him, copying Him, depending wholly upon Him, that you are to be transformed into His likeness. By beholding Him you become changed into him. It is by beholding self that you become changed into the image of the devil, who is the ultimate self. So who do you want to be an image of, dear ones? It's whoever you allow your mind to dwell upon. Christ or the devil, it's your choice. And praise God for giving us his word that shows us the true, loving, merciful, tender-hearted, compassionate character of our God. So that we will not want to be like the devil and reap everlasting destruction, but we can instead be like our loving God and reap everlasting life. So it is by loving Christ, copying Christ, depending wholly upon Christ, that you can be transformed into his likeness. You can have his character as part of your own and truly be the living witnesses of the Almighty to the fallen inhabitants of this world. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free to do so.
I like how you put it, Elder Rob, when you said that our own little human ship, so to speak, and as we allow God to steer our human ship, it's how we can continue to grow in grace. I know that, as you say, when we put him first in the morning and we invite him into our plans, I mean, literally, sometimes it's not that you audibly maybe hear his voice, but it's like impressions that you're given to do something this way or do something the other way. And then as you follow that still small voice, so to speak, you realize that because you have put God first in the morning, you've had your morning devotion, you realize that it's God who is showing you the way, and then you see how things turn out so much better, and you have to praise him. Because even though we might say, okay, yeah, at such and such a time, I was going to do such and such, but then it doesn't happen because XYZ happened. But then if XYZ didn't happen, maybe something worse would have happened, and we just never know. So it is always best to put God first, last and best in everything, and allow him to lead us and to guide us and to steer that human ship, if you will. Beautiful analogy.
Amen, sister. And it is indeed wonderful to comprehend that we are like a ship and we have the ability to choose what captain is going to steer us. Is it going to be the devil through our own nature, our own self that does it? Or are we going to allow Christ to steer our ship?
Amen. I agree, dear Sister Lynn and Brother Bob, but I would like to also add to that. Now, if we do get up in the morning and consecrate ourselves and allow Jesus to go first and we to follow, it brings also the scripture when Jesus was actually in the ship, but he was asleep. So if we carry forth our Lord before us and he is the one that is in the ship, if there's a storm that's supposed to come at you for whatever purpose, once Jesus is on board, he can be able to calm the storms in our life. I have this experience that happened. I'm always doing different type of projects, and I decided to just go ahead and, you know, I finished early, so I started to say, well, Lord, I guess you give me a little bit of chance that I can be able to just do something. And I decided that day to be able to go biking with my son. Everything seems to be so perfect. You know, he has his bike. I finally have a bike that was actually lent to me, and I decided to go ahead and bike, and you know, it was such a freedom to be able to just be in open air And then here comes my son, have the accident, and he falls and he fractures his wrist. So I'm sitting down and started to think, oh boy, I think I must have done something wrong, because I was saying everything was okay. But not knowing that even in that situation, when that thought came in, and it seems to be that was going to threaten the life of my son and even the stability of us here, I didn't even realize that in that storm there was going to be a beautiful calm. Because of that storm, now my son is able to finish his baptismal, because he couldn't do his school anymore, because the hand that is actually injured is his right hand. And now he's doing, what number you are in the baptismal right now?
26.
He's in the 26th baptismal with only one hand. So where God is able to perform his miracle, when he had his two hands, I was saying, I don't know how you're going to do that with school. I guess the Lord made a way, and he made it in such a way that now there is nothing that hindering, and the only thing that he's able to do is to concentrate on his study for the purpose of baptism. So praise God if we do put him to be the one to lead our ship, and he's there, anything that comes towards us, the Lord could calm that storm. We don't know why it happened, but only God knows why he allows certain things to happen. So I just want to praise God and actually add that to that analogy.
Amen. And that is so true. You know, we may wonder why certain things happen the way they do, and why couldn't it have waited until a better time to happen when you were better prepared? But God knows what is best at any point of time in our life. And that's where trust in him comes into place. If we trust God, then whatever he allows to come our way is not something that's bad, even though we may not like it. It's actually something that's beneficial. It's for our good. And the only way that we're going to be able to rejoice in tribulation is by trusting completely in our God. If you trust him 100%, then you can indeed joy in tribulation. You can be happy when mishaps occur, because you know that it was all for the purpose of bringing you to salvation. What better thing to rejoice about? That you're a step closer to heaven. It just all depends on where we're going to focus our attention when these troubles and trials and tribulations occur. Are we going to keep it focused on God? Or are we going to focus it away from God unto ourselves? Let us keep focused on God. And then no matter what comes across our path, we know it is for the best. We know it is for our salvation. And that is truly something to be happy and joyful about. But if we instead mutiny against Christ being the captain of our own little ship, and we believe we can do a better job ourselves, we're going to make a mess of things. And if we don't change, we will lose salvation. In Isaiah chapter 33, and this is starting at verse 14, says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" Remember, the glory of God destroys sin. So who among us are going to be able to dwell with the Holy Almighty Who among us sinners are really going to be able to stand in the presence of God? Verse 15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hand from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. If we do these things, then what's going to happen? And obviously only through Christ that strengthens us. Verse 16, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. And what is this land? This is heaven. Verse 20, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there, in heaven, the glorious Lord will be unto us, those that have allowed Christ to steer their ship. The glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. So if we allow the Lord to be the captain of our ship, we're going to make it into the harbor of heaven. Christ will directly lead us there. But if we think we can do a better job ourselves at steering our own ship, mutinying against Christ and taking the wheel and guiding our frail boat ourselves, if we're really that proud and self-exalting, we're never going to make it to heaven. Because in heaven there will be no proud galley with oars. It won't make it there. And neither is there going to be a very proud and boisterous gallant ship that's going to be there either. Because in reality, dear ones, the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. We can't save ourselves. And those who believe that they can save themselves and that they can mutinize against the Lord and take control of themselves and allow self to steer them are going to find that their tacklings are loosed, verse 23. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. And then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey, and they're lost. If a lame person can take prey away from you, then you're not very strong at all. Your utter weakness. So let us allow Christ to steer us wherever he sees is best and trust and rest in him, and we'll make it to heaven. Don't commit mutiny against him. Don't take the reins of controls in your own hands. because you will be destroyed. You will lose heaven and yet all the time believe that you're on the way to heaven. That is true blindness. That is true Laodiceanism. Christ is our captain. He is the only one capable of leading God's people to heaven. Not a single individual human, and not all of humanity combined together, has the wisdom capable of steering themselves into the kingdom of God. Christ is the only way. Mankind is not the way. So when we come to the point of beginning to doubt, or becoming despondent, or becoming impatient or restless, look away from self to Christ, and you'll be safe. Continuing, Jesus says, "Abide in me." These words convey the idea of rest, stability, confidence. Again, he invites, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest," which is Matthew 11:28. The words of the psalmist express the same thought: rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, which is Psalms 37:7. And Isaiah gives the assurance, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength," which is Isaiah 30:15. So we're utter weakness, but in confidence and trust in Christ, our weakness becomes strength, because he is our strength. That's where we find it. So rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And have confidence in him. And you will no longer be weak, but you will be strong in him. Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue on? Amen, dear brother. The comment in the room was, "God is the source of all joy and strength." And that is so true. So let us finish this one paragraph here. It says, Isaiah gives the assurance, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." This rest is not found in an activity, for in the Savior's invitation, the promise of rest is united with the call to labor. Take my yoke upon you. That's action. And ye shall find rest, which is Matthew 11:29. The heart that rests most fully upon Christ will be most earnest and active in laboring for him. So this resting in Christ is not sitting back and being idle, but it's continuing to work for him, continuing to witness about him to others, continuing to do your daily activities and responsibilities, and all the while you're resting in his love. You're exerting confidence in his ability to guide you safely to the harbor. So take Christ's yoke upon you, dear ones, and ye shall find rest. And in this rest, in this confidence, in this quietness of understanding that God is now in control of your life, then live His life in your own. Witness about Him to others. Raise your children for His glory. Spread His tracks and materials of truth far and wide, so that others can find the rest that you're enjoying, that they can't find anywhere in this world. So look up and live. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we close, dear ones?
That little statement, look up and live, is so powerful. I know a lot of times when discouragement might want to come my way, and I might be walking, for example, like going into work or what have you, and that thought actually comes into my mind as I remember that, look up and live. You know, that is my prayer. I want to look up and live. I want to look up unto Christ, unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is our leader, our captain, our Savior, our all. And as we look up, we're looking up into Christ, because if we look down and we continue to see all the filthiness and horror that's around us, that's not going to save us. That's not going to keep us. So we have to look up and live. Amen.
Amen, dear sister. Amen, indeed. I tend to see that too, even when dear brother Rob, whenever we have correspondence, keep looking up is something that always rings true as I go through my day and things are a little bit rough. It will come back to me. and I'm like, okay, let me do that. I also want to make a quick note on when you were reading that. It says, take my yoke upon you. And when I was thinking about that, even as it was being read, and I think about the yoke that the Lord is carrying, it is such a yoke of love, but He carries the weight for us. And we're taking that yoke, which is really that yoke of love upon us, to do that same work that He is doing, but He is bearing all of the weight of it. We ourselves, we are co-laborers, yes, but even His mighty wings shield us from the true heat and intensity of the labor. We get to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We don't have to exactly bear all of the true, powerful weight of even soul winning. The Holy Spirit goes forth and does that kind of work. We're merely the vessels. We take that yoke upon us. That's Christ's yoke. And then He says to go for and you shall find rest. There is rest in that labor. And actually, it takes me back to even at this very particular moment when we were reading on another portion of a different study and concerning what the Lord had given to Adam. And that is to put him out there and to work that land. And in him working that land, he would find his rest too. Because if he were to continue to keep his mind so much inundated with the destruction that had come into the earth, it would have crushed him completely. So the rest that we find, at least in what my understanding is in Christ. And he, the yoke that he places upon us is not heavy, because he tells us his yoke is not heavy. But the work, which is still part of that yoke, is a yoke of love. We get to go and win souls. And that's not even unto ourselves. We get to go and rescue the perishing. We get to go forth and help the Master break open the prison gates and set the captives free. So that's how I see this. Like, wow, what a wonderful way of putting that, Lord. It's like we take on your yoke, but you carry the weight, and we get to rest while you're doing all this work, but yet we're still working. But, oh, Lord, this is such a beautiful thing. And we may have our trials and tribulations. However, those trials and tribulations are for our good, even as it was for Adam's good, that he should work the land in the sweat of his brow. It is good for us that we don't have a scape-free kind of life. Otherwise, we would not even appreciate so great a salvation. We would not even understand how much of ourself we'd have to get rid of. We wouldn't even know with a good comprehension how to even minister to others if the Lord didn't allow us to go through certain circumstances to prepare us for those he needed us to reach later on. So I praise God in all these mighty works, all these things that he is doing. I praise the Lord.
I stand in agreement, dear brethren. And I also want to share, in my personal study, I realized in the spirit of prophecy, I came across a statement that their sister had actually written. She says, as the day coming closer to his coming, we must meditate upon Calvary. And every time when things happen in my life that are very hard, and sometimes I feel that it's not deserving, and that statement comes back to my mind, and I realize what Jesus went through. He was not guilty of anything that he had done to deserve that death. But I know that many of the things that happened to me, it is based on the decision that I have made. So when she says, meditate upon Calvary, you really will start looking at your own life and realize you deserve everything that is coming to you because that was based on your decision. And even in the mercy of Calvary, the Lord is saying, you don't have to carry that. That's why I said, to bring all your heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Come to me. And then if I go to him, being honest with myself and admitting, Lord, I know I didn't listen when you told me to do such and such. And I know this actually came upon me because I yielded my will where you were not present. Now the Lord also said, now that you recognize it, you need to forgive yourself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, you calling my crucifixion a lie. Which meaning I am not capable to atone for the sin that you have committed. Come to me. And even in the midst of our degradation, looking up to Calvary is not only to remind us of our deeds in the flesh, but also to redeem us as well. He left us what was necessary to work our own salvation. If he didn't leave us any work to do, we will be ungrateful children and not to appreciate the true gift and sacrifice that was made. We must know the worth of the sacrifice. We must know the true penalty of transgression through sin, breaking the law of God. And there is another thing that I wanted to add. I noticed that when you do sit down and you're not really laboring for the Lord, you notice that you're sitting down and you start thinking about your sorry life and everything you didn't accomplish and what you wanted to do. And then when you really think about it, you realize really that you're wasting a lot of time. But if you do take up and try to be able, if nothing is going on in your life, be a blessing to somebody else's life. Try to bring a word of encouragement or something. And at the time when you're so wrapped up trying to help others, you really forget your own. And sometimes when nothing is happening and you remember your own, you're going to want to run away from it because in reality, the more you think about it, the more frustrated you become, the more the enemy takes that moment to start making you doubt and start saying, oh, you know something? What are you going to do now? You have your son out of school. You know, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that. But you know something? If you meet the devil with a dust of the Lord, I may not actually concentrate on this worldly education, but my concern is, will my son come into the gates of heaven? So I have to look towards the higher education. Because when he do get that higher education, then the Lord will gear him to whatever it is he has to do in this life. So I have to put what is priority first. So I know every day as I put my foot down, the enemy is going to challenge me with something that I have in my character, my son life, everybody. But I always have to say, the Lord is the one that is going to transform us into His character. That is God's work on me. I don't have to be looking to see what it is that I'm supposed to be doing, because He's the one that leading. I am not the captain of this ship. He wants me to be able to be attentive to me, because He knows that that's the only way He can coexist. And honestly, I don't want to be with Him, because I'm always in trouble when He steps in. So praise God for Jesus, that if we do consecrate ourselves in the morning and we don't think that much about ourselves, the more we labor and we're not going to think about our sorry life. Sorry, I just wanted to share that.
Amen, sister, and thank you for sharing that. Well, we've come to the end of our youth and adult Sabbath school, so I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel before our Lord. Dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for making possible our salvation. We thank you for sending Jesus to become our substitute, surety, and sacrifice for sin, and also our Savior and captain of our souls. Father, please send your Spirit to us in rich abundance, and please, Spirit, continue to reveal to us all of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Help us to spot all the areas that self still has control of our lives, so that we might choose to give self up, to crucify it, and instead allow Christ to take the reins of control in these areas, in all other areas, so that indeed we could rest in His love, we could have the trust and confidence necessary to endure whatever He sees as best, knowing that He is expertly guiding our ship into heaven. Help us not to commit mutiny against Him by putting self back in control, but help us to keep self crucified through His grace and strength, and allow Him to steer us wherever He sees is best. Help us all to rest more and more completely in His love. And thank you so much, Savior, for taking control. Please be with us in the continuing part of the service, and throughout the rest of this wonderful Sabbath day in fellowship with Thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, dear ones, let us take 5 minutes, and then I'll come back here at 11:13 for the beginning of our main service. So just 5 minutes.